Welcome in to the latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on Twitters. And there he is, strolling in at the last second, as per usual. Cousin Shane, everybody's favorite cousin. How's it going, brother?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, bad. I don't know about you. I'm getting tired of hearing about this damn Nico. So I figured it was time that we opened up the mailbag that we were supposed to get to last week. But then the shit hit the fan and we've had a lot to catch up on. So how does it sound going around the league? We got some excellent questions this week.
Yeah, sounds good. Just a nice little change of pace there. I'm going to tell you, Mike, you know what today is, right? April 15th.
Uh-huh.
It's one of the worst days of the year for all those independent contractors out there getting those taxes in at the very last minute. This beer's for you, and thank you for joining the show, because I know if you've been in the numbers and you're looking at all the money you just sent off, it's nice to get on here and kind of take your mind off of it and think about college football for a little while. So, Mike, that's what I've been doing the last couple of days. So, Nico, yes, has he been at the forefront? Pretty damn close, but Uncle Sam, I mean, he's been knocking at my door all day long. So it was nice to get that over with.
Excellent question from Jeez Louise, Shane. Does Nico have to file his taxes now?
Oh, you know they're coming after him.
But you know, Shane, they won't be coming after the cousins. If they head on over to our presenting sponsor, MyBookie, MyBookie.ag, that's a website. Put in that promo code, that SEC, THATSEC, over at MyBookie.ag, Shane. If they put in a promo code, if they're a first timer, they're willing to give you a 50% instant deposit match today, so you can bet against Nico and wherever the hell he lands next year. You know, I think as soon as we find out where he's going, I'm gonna bet the under.
I like it. We're 3 minutes in, not talking about Nico. Hey, I did hear Tulane is not an option. I've seen some DMs that they're going to pay north of $4 million, which I think is hilarious. I think he's running out of spots here, man.
Yeah, I think ESPN wrote an article that he has nowhere to go. So I don't know. We'll see about all that. But yeah, let's get off. We're minutes in here. This is that Nico show. How about this though, real quick, Shane, before we get to the mailbag?
Yeah.
Our favorite event of the year, Shane, SEC Media Days.
Yeah.
It has been revealed. The lineup. It's going to start July 14th. And buddy, we got us a good one on July 14th. We got Brian Kelly's family. Lane Kiffin. And when you know what, those two are not very friendly, so that's even better. Shane Beamer and Clark Lee.
Ooh, fun day.
That's a hell of a start to 2025 SEC Media Days down there in Atlanta.
Well, yeah, everybody's going to want to hear what Lane Kiffin has to say, but it's always nice when Brian Kelly and Kiffin are in the same room. And then you follow it up with Beamer. I think Beamer's an open book. He's always a breath of fresh air at Media Days because he actually talks. And then there's Coach Lee. You know, it's always nice to not have him on the last day.
That Tuesday, July 15th, Shane, we're going to have Hugh Freeze.
Yes.
Kirby Smart. Mm-hmm. Josh Heupel and Steve Sarkisian. Whoa, what a lineup there for Tuesday. That's going to be epic.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one right there, because there's a lot of coaches going to be asked some tough questions in that room. You know what I'm saying?
And then Wednesday, Shane, you may be wanting to catch a nap or what have you.
Yeah.
You're going to have an opportunity. All the cousins out there, if you're tuning into SEC Network for the Media Days and all that in this channel, we'll have Kalen DeBoer.
Yes.
Billy Napier. Mm. Jeff Lebby. And Brett Venable. So that Wednesday's nap day, July 16th, down at Media Days. You know what?
That's a tough listen, you know, but that's why that SEC podcast is there, to kind of lighten the mood. So we'll definitely have fun with the crew, but that's a tough, the big room, that's going to be a tough room to make it through that day.
Right. And so here's the fun day, Shane. Let's make sure you don't drink too many beers that Wednesday night after having to listen through that snooze fest. Cause we'll have Sam Pittman.
Yes.
We'll have Eli Drinkwitz. Mm-hmm. We'll have Mike Elko and we'll have Mark Stoops. Ooh. That's a hell of a close to SEC Media Days on Thursday, July 17th.
What a group there, huh? That sounds like a the tug of war team that you want. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. I think you're 100% right on that one.
Yeah, I was just trying to think, like, the buffet would be closed after them boys showed up. So, that's a fun group, though. Say, kidding aside, you know, Drink is always a fun. He always comes over to the table. Sam's always at the table, you know. So these are guys that we'll be talking. This will be a big day for us just because they're fans of the show. So I look forward to seeing those guys.
Yep. All right, Shane, are you ready for literally the best SEC mailbag questions we've gotten since we started doing this, maybe ever, but yeah, certainly in the off season. Are you ready to start tackling some of these questions?
Hell yeah, that good, huh?
I mean, I hate to hype it up, Shane, but I mean, yeah, you're gonna be blown away here. You know what?
Yeah, I'm all in, man.
All right, shout out, and again, if you're an official cousin to the show, we're gonna get your question. Always going to get an answer on the YouTubes there. Mm-hmm. And we lead the way with you. And shout out cousin Kyle, loving good. He's been a loyal cousin for years and years and years. So we appreciate you, cousin Kyle. What are your three favorite things, Shane, about the SEC? And what are your least favorite things about the SEC? And I can answer one for Shane right off the top. And it's no longer our least favorite, but it was for a long time. Is that damn Gary Danielson?
Yeah, that definitely went to the best. You know what I'm saying? That did a quick turn. I think honestly, the whole ABC, the whole Disney thing has been pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. I enjoy the commentary more. You know, are they perfect? Absolutely not. But I feel like it's not the night and day difference. I like the scheduling. Seems like that's a little bit better because they kind of hold the reins there. Things I like. One of the things I like most about the SEC, Mike, is it feels like the only traditional program or the only traditional group in the country, you know, with the Big Ten focused on expansion, with the Big 12 bouncing around the past. There's a lot of uncertainty out there. There's a lot of moving pieces, but the bedrock to college football is right here in the South. And I love owning that footprint. I think Texas and Oklahoma was good pickups. But it wasn't a California, it wasn't a Wisconsin or something, you know, just off the map, doesn't make any sense. It's good for the fans, you can get to them. So I think the footprint, tradition, and the lack of change with all the moving pieces has been pretty cool.
Yeah, for me, Shane, number one far and away is the fans.
Yeah.
Because I think the fans are what make this show, is what make the SEC great, and you know, we can bicker about this rule and that rule and all this, that, and the other. There's always something to complain about, but we're only doing that because we care so much and we're so in tune to it, you know?
Yeah.
The things we don't complain about here are things, you know, we just don't give a damn about, you know what I mean? So I think far and away the fans are what make the SEC so great. And quite frankly, that's why I have, this job that I had, that it's not really a job, but this show, you know, so
yeah,
the fans, number one. Number two, I think, you know, I think you nailed it with the history and everything like that, but just the rivalries and how this is like annual bragging rights.
Yes.
And I love the fact, again, NFL's great, professional sports is great, I get all that, but you know, who in the hell remembers who won Chicago Bears, Green Bay Packers, you know, the first meeting they had 2 years ago. You know what I mean? Yeah. We could go game by game, Tennessee, Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, on and on and on. I mean, these things are burned into our memories.
Yes.
Because it means so much, because it's only once a year. And well, unless you meet in the playoff or SEC championship, but still, even then, I mean, those regular season games, I think it's the best damn regular season in all of sports, and I don't even think that's debatable.
Yeah, and if we go to more games, you know, it's like we're going to get more SEC action, and every Saturday, it's like, I mean, it's just so fun. If you're not at the game, and maybe that's one of the things I enjoy is just the tailgate experience which is kick ass. And I could imagine that these other ones don't hold a candle to what Southeastern Conference offers as far as tailgating and food. My God, they could cook. I was Mike size before I started going to tailgates. You know what I'm saying? But along those lines, I just, hell, I got sidetracked with food. What were we talking about?
Just why the SEC is so great. And I'll tell you another thing, Shane, it's because everything we do down here is bigger and better. Yeah. And that goes to media days. That goes, I mean, those other fans, even the Big Ten, you know, they claim they're elite and all that. Their media days is a joke. You know what I mean? I'm sure Ohio State fans get fired up, but you know, maybe Michigan, maybe. But again, that's a joke. The SEC network, I don't think there's a better network in all of college athletics. Mm-hmm. I just think the fact that, you know, we make everything bigger and better. I think that's gotta be up there too.
Yeah. I'm right there with you, man. Absolutely. I think you nailed this one.
Anything we don't like though?
Anything we don't like about the SEC?
Besides, they don't allow us to come to any of the games or anything.
Yeah, just
I don't know if we deserve to be at the games. So I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean that kind of sucks. Not, but I mean I enjoyed just going. We went to an SEC championship. You know, we weren't invited to that one, but by God, we showed up. I don't know, man. I don't think there's really anything that I just hate because I compare it to the other conferences. Yeah. It'd be one thing if I'm saying, well, man, it's not fair because ACC always gets this or that. Maybe, you know, one thing I didn't like as much this season was, you know, I thought we didn't get enough respect come the college football playoff time. It's almost like we had to force the hand to get more teams in there. And we were giving, in my opinion, too much credit to some of these other schools just because of their record. So I guess if I were, we're nitpicking here, but I feel like the college football playoff selection was absolute trash when the SEC was, you know, I don't think they got the respect they deserved.
Mm. I've been thinking a lot about that, Shane. I don't know that they did deserve it.
No, I think I want all the teams in there, Mike, because Once you're in there, who knows? Alabama could have caught fire. You know what I'm saying? South Carolina could have caught fire last year. So, yeah, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, I really enjoyed Indiana. I really, you know, loved enter any of these damn teams that we watch get blown out. It's like, no, I would rather have an SEC school in there because once you're in there, once you're in the dance, anything can happen.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone can make the case for Alabama after they lost 24-3 2 weeks before, you know?
Your opinion.
Oh, you know who I will respect their opinion, though, Shane?
Who's that?
JR. Come on, cousin JR. He just gets to the membership. This time to Outdoorsman 6159. Welcome to the family. Courtesy.
JR.
Okay, that next one, Shane. Again, I'll tell you, that was just an appetizer, Shane.
For
the rest of these great questions. Shout out cousin Sven. He's always in here.
Mississippi State, right?
Yes, sir. Big bulldog. What will college football look like in 10 years, Shane? More like NFL light with dozens of millionaires on the field who don't care about education, fans of school, or more back to the roots? Getting a degree in the first place. What do you think is more likely?
I think we're already beyond school. You know, I mean, when you're going across the country midweek, school is not the forefront here for the Southeastern Conference or any college football team. So I think we're going to be closer to an NFL situation. I would imagine salary cap, top deals,
right.
Contracts. There's going to be some sort of uniform approach with college football. And another thing too, maybe even a kind of a push to a super league similar to the NFL where we're not keeping all Division I teams in there.
Yeah, I think you just nailed it. That's where I was going to go, Shane. I think this is, I mean, it's already happening, but I think we're going to get closer to super leagues. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm rooting for that, but I think that's natural. We got another question that's going to go down that road here in just a minute. But, I think the SEC will get a little bit bigger. I think the Big Ten might get a little bit bigger. I mean, hell, they're so damn big already. But
yeah,
not that I'm rooting for that, but I think that is a natural, because that's what's going to happen. We got to get all these guys under contract. Otherwise, we're going to have a dozen Nikos every year. You know what I mean? We've got to get some rules in place, and the government's not going to do it. They're wasting every damn second, you know, waiting for Congress and all this. SEC and the Big Ten and whoever wants to come along with them, they're going to have to set these rules in place. Mm-hmm. That's the only way it's going to happen.
Yep. Yep. There's going to be some sort of loophole discovered here. And I'm expecting at some point a separation from the schools. I don't know how they're going to do it, but there's got to be. And then that way you can then kind of hit this as an organization in totality, as all the football teams together. So we'll see. We'll see when that happens. I'm just saying 10 years, most likely that, and probably two national championships for Tennessee. That's probably what I'm expecting.
All right. How about this one, Shade, from cousin Carter B. Huff. He's a member of the channels. So we're going to get his question. This is a great one, Shane. What is your favorite rivalry in the SEC that doesn't get talked about enough? So it doesn't even have to be your favorite one, but maybe what is your favorite one that doesn't get talked about enough? And I would say the annual ones at the end. I mean, we love the Egg Bowl. We love the Iron Bowl. But I mean, even the Egg Bowl, I feel like we talk a lot about it. Is there maybe another one? You know, maybe it doesn't even have to be your top one, but maybe your top two that come to mind that you're like, every year, I love this game.
Yeah, let me give you two traditionally that are maybe two here lately that has been kind of exciting for me, and then one that, okay, let me just say it. So I think the South Carolina Mizzou game has always been kind of fun.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie. It's just nobody. It's not. I don't know if you'd consider it a rivalry. We call it the Columbia Bowl. I think we call it a lot of things, but these two absolutely freaking hate each other. And you hear it leading up, and they're still chirping if you won years later. You know what I'm saying? So that's definitely one on my list.
Cousin Ben says Drake versus Beamer, biggest cornball in the SEC. That's another
Florida LSU is another one. Now here lately, it's not been as good, but there, I mean, you got to remember there was like 5, 6, 7 years in a row that it was decided less than a score. And some of the craziest storylines came out of that one. So the Florida LSU game has always been kind of fun for me. Who else you got? There's one more I think I was going to throw out, but I want to see what you're saying.
Yeah, real quick, though, breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Oklahoma just landed a running back, Jaden Nott. Shane, was that Cal? I remember Hugh Freeze scared to death of this guy when the last couple of years. He ran for 897 yards, 8 touchdowns.
Yes.
Wait, that was 2 years ago. He was Pac-12 all-freshman team. That's not even a conference anymore, Shane. But he was dominant in it. So just shout out Sooners. They just landed. I think that's a huge commitment for them. But one you didn't mention, Shane, I love this game. And we don't even get it anymore. God, it pains me. We'll get it back. But we haven't gotten it the last 2 years, Shane. Auburn, LSU. Now, why is that my favorite? It's just for years and years, that was typically their first SEC game.
Yeah.
The SEC West, you know, for years and years, that was the toughest division, not only in the SEC, but all college football. And it was just, man, was that a physical, hard-fought game? It was always like, you know, there's college football.
Yeah.
And then there's the damn SEC. It gets ratcheted up to 10 in a damn hurry when Auburn and LSU usually met at the tail end of September. That I don't know why that has just burned into my memory. That was usually one of the first SEC on CBS games. So
yes,
I love that. I love that game. How about this one? I don't know. You could call this a rivalry, but there's a lot of weirdness, a lot of great games, and some great recent history, Shane, when they switched coaches around twice.
Mm-hmm.
How about Florida in South Carolina? Ooh, with Steve Spurrier, Will Muschamp, and these damn referees that can't call a play correctly. We're talking underrated. I'm not saying it's like the best rivalry in the sport or anything like that, but I wish we were getting that, particularly because DJ Lagway and Lenore Sellers, I think they're the two best quarterbacks in the SEC. It's kind of a damn shame we won't see that on the field unless they play in the SEC championship or a college football playoff next year.
I think that's, you know, it's funny because I think a lot of this has to do with Beamer, just like Mizzou and Drink. It's just, if that's not your coach, you hate him. Absolutely hate him. You know? And so when I think South Carolina, yes, the Florida, but also the Kentucky for a moment was a really good one. You know, Kentucky, Florida was a really good one there for a little bit. And that's kind of sucked here lately, but I think for a good rivalry, you got to have some back and forth. One that you mentioned earlier, I think the Ole Miss LSU game is one that is getting better and better, especially the more shit that comes from Coach Kiffin's mouth. You know, it's like Coach is like making it even more. So, that one I think is going to have some legs moving forward. Any of the Texas Oklahoma teams that you're looking at like could be something. I think I'll say this: Oklahoma, Mizzou. I was there. They're excited about next year going over to Oklahoma. That one, I think people are talking about it, but it's going to get ratcheted up here the next few years, I believe.
Yeah, Faith says, well, I mean, we're trying to do underrated. Florida State, Florida, Georgia, Georgia Tech. I mean, those are all-time classics. But how about if you want to highlight Texas and Oklahoma, one that is may not there yet, but we may get there very soon, and I think we're already headed towards the path.
Georgia, about, and Texas,
not even close. Oklahoma, Tennessee. I think that could be a fun one. I think
it could be.
I think, you know, them playing more and more. Last year was a little bit of a dud, but it was Josh Heupel. Now it's Josh Heupel 2.0 here. The Josh Heupel Bowl, what have you. There's been some great games in that series. I think that could develop into, again, it's far from a rivalry today.
Yeah.
But ask me again in 5 years. I think that could be a really good one.
What about Oklahoma and Auburn? You know, if you keep stealing players and shit. LSU and Oklahoma, that's another one. So, when you start losing some players, just ask Arkansas and Ole Miss. They hate each other, you know, because you're stealing your boys. So, you can get rivalries on the field and you can get them off the field.
Brodo says Kirby versus Sankey's a good one.
That was very salty. What about this one? Georgia State versus the SEC.
they've won too much. I don't even know if it's a rivalry. And then one more, one that I could develop into a rivalry.
Yeah.
I think could be a hell of a series. And they really screwed up not scheduling some of these games, but how about LSU and Texas? They've had some history. They're close, you know, geographically. I think LSU, Texas, we need that game a lot more than we're getting it, but I think that could develop into something special.
They've had some games, you know. I think about the Joey Burrow, you know, that there's some really good games between those two teams. And that could get ratcheted up real quick. That's one thing about Texas. Even we talked about Texas and Georgia. I joked about it earlier, but you play them 2 or 3 times a year. Eventually, you're going to really hate each other. So they already threw shit on the field for them. You know what I'm saying? So that one could be pretty special at some point as well.
All right, how about this one, Shane? Shout out Cousin Jeremy, aka Common Sense Farm.
Nice, what nice a name.
If Cousin Shade and Cousin Mike were given absolute, unquestioned authority over college athletics, how would you restructure the current mess to ensure coaches and players were able to maximize their earning potential while keeping fans engaged with their current teams? What do you think about that, buddy?
Oh, man. I think we go to 10 games or 9 games. The way what we're going to do here, 9, so that we have an even rotation.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like salary cap's in order at some point, and I'd like to see that. And honestly, that's going to help other teams in this. Now, there's the Alabamas, the Georgias. They're not going to like this. Texas ain't going to like this. But it's where we're heading or where we're trying to head. So let's just embrace it and play. It doesn't mean the kid's got to come to your school. So, you may be sitting there with an extra $10 million in your pocket because nobody wanted to come to your university. So, but I feel like there's got to be some sort of limits in place. And once you're signed that dotted line, you're committed, and only one transfer portal is going to happen in my league.
Yeah, I love the one transfer portal. I think that desperately needs to happen, and I think it will. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll get spring football back, hopefully. I'd love to see some of these inter-squad scrimmages, if you will, to where, you know, we can get these spring matchups, dream matchups that we're kind of fantasizing about. Make this month way better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With some of the extra games. I love the 9 game. That desperately needs to happen. What if, I don't know if this is feasible, but he said we're the rulers, right? So
we are.
Yeah, yeah. We got to lock these players into contracts, and I'm fine if you transfer, your graduate transfer, I'm fine with that. Yeah. If the coach gets fired, I'm fine. You can exit immediately. But otherwise, what if, this would be a little wild, but what if you had to stay? Otherwise, you know, unless I just said graduation or coach gets fired, what if you had to stay for 2 years? Yeah. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. You know that going in. Maybe you take a little bit more time with your decision. And why I like that, Shane, is just because with these college athletes, so much can change. Development needs to come into order. You know, you got to fit into college. And maybe that would help emphasize getting back into mm-hmm. academics a little bit. And I know that's, you know, that's somewhat comical. You could roll your eyes at that. But I think it'd be good for players to know, hey, I'm here for 2 years minimum.
Yeah.
And if I do that, then I can use my free transfer. I can't just sign, go through spring, get homesick or whatever, or get a better offer and then exit. I think it would be good, even though the players may not realize it, I think it would be good for players to make them go through 2 years before they have the ability to transfer. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think it makes perfect sense. Since also we are ruling college football for a second, I think some of this money that we're collecting and we're passing around all these schools should go to the players, but I think it should come back to the fans as well. And let's cheapen the tickets. Let's cheapen the fan. You know, we want to make it easier, more accessible. They bitch and moan that there's not enough butts in the seat. Well, we're creating that. We can fix that by making it easier to get into these games.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about, you know, it's a wild one, Shane, when it's cousin Brodo Baggins 420. He's in the comments. He's causing a fuss down there. If big emphasis on, if he says, if the SEC were to add two more teams.
Yes.
Now here's a caveat. Who would you want those two to be? And who are the two most likely? So he's asking two different questions here.
I want Virginia Tech, and I think Florida needs another one. So I went for Florida State. I think that's the one that I'm going to go with.
Mm. And who, if the SEC expanded, who do you think are the most likely they would add?
Clemson and maybe Virginia Tech. I don't know. I mean, it's one that keeps popping up whenever I hear it. So
yeah,
I'd like maybe another Texas school, but I'll go with Tech and Clemson.
All right. You're wrong there, but that's okay. I'm here to educate you, Shade. If the SEC expands, and I think they will at some point.
Yeah.
The number one target is North Carolina. North Carolina, North Carolina, North Carolina. They can,
boring.
The SEC likes basketball. There's enough to like about it. It's a state, you know, state institution that the SEC footprint is not currently in. I think all those are big, and you know, I think these coaches. I don't think, well, not that the coaches matter, but I don't think they want 14 juggernauts.
Yeah.
They would love to have them Vanderbilt 2.0. You know what I mean? Like, again, and I'm not saying North Carolina's there, because hell, I think Vanderbilt's better than North Carolina now. But I think they would really go for that. I really do. North Carolina and the other one, it's been out there. It's Virginia. And I don't know why in the hell they really want them, but other than expanding the footprint, it's the state school. I've had it explained to me. I can't really even understand it or explain it, but they want Virginia too. So if the SEC expands, I think it's going to be North Carolina. It'll be Virginia.
And who did you want?
Now, here's where I'll get a little crazy. But it seems like you're on the same page. Who I would want? Do I like these programs? No, I do not. Did I like Texas and Oklahoma? I'll be honest with you. I didn't like them. Now that they're in, I love them. You know what I mean? But give me, you nailed the one of them, Florida State.
Yeah.
And Clemson. That's who I would like to see, because all I care about is, you know, the football, really.
Yeah.
And I think those fan bases, even though they're, you know, we've seen all of them online, they're crazy, they're insane. I think they would add something to this conference just in terms of pure football. Mm-hmm. Those are fan bases that are bought in. Those are fan bases that will spend the money. They have the facility. And when I say facility, I mean stadium and tailgating. You know, they're not a Virginia. I mean, come on. What is Virginia going to add to the football? What is North Carolina going to add to the football? They're going to add academics. I don't give a shit about that. I want the power. Give me 16 powerhouse college football teams or 18 or whatever the hell the number is. If I'm adding some, I think it would be Florida State. I think it would be Clemson, just to make the SEC even more dominant than ever before. And I did consider, you know, Oklahoma State. I think that would be, there's history there with Texas and Oklahoma, obviously, and Arkansas, but come on.
Yeah.
What are they going to add, you know?
Well, I do like, one of the things about Florida State and Clemson is we see them every year. You know, with the South Carolina and the Florida game at the end of the season, I think it makes perfect sense. The only ones missing, what, is Louisville and Georgia Tech. So, and there's no way in hell we want either one of those losers back in, or one of them. You know what I'm saying? So I think that would be really good for fanfare, you know, expanding the footprint. I would throw out, you want, now, if we did get wild, Mike, if the SEC said, hey, let's play a game here, what would you think about Notre Dame, adding a team like Notre Dame?
Well, then we just become the Big Ten, and we just like,
I know.
It don't matter if they're in the South or not. So,
I'm just talking about the footprint, you know, that kind of went out the window, but just, I don't know, kind of a splash get, if you will.
Yeah, it would be. Let them go to the Big Ten. I don't care about them, you know?
All right, just testing you.
Now, historically, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like about it, but Sankey has said many times, this is the conference of that we stick to the name, we stick to the region, and he, you know, give him an extra $1 billion, he'll change his mind in a heartbeat. You know what I mean? But I'll choose to believe him that that's not their main priority right now.
It's funny you said North Carolina. The only thing I've seen on North Carolina so far is Nico Mago there and Bill Belichick's girlfriend taking stuff and back and forth on the football field. Apparently, she's part of the staff now. So that's the only highlights I have seen from UNC right now. But, yeah, let's bring him in the Southeastern Conference.
Would it change your mind if he turned him into a dynasty?
Oh, yeah. I want good football, Mike. I don't want a Vanderbilt 2.0. And I can't even use that joke. We can't say that anymore about Vanderbilt when nobody wants to play them last year or this year. So I want competition. I'm like you. I want to see Clemson. You know, it's, don't sit over there in this weak-ass conference and then say, hey, I belong at the seat at the table. You know, no, come over here and play with the boys. And let's see if you make it to the end. And if you do, then you've earned the right to be in a playoff. So, yeah, I want Clemson and Florida State. That would be awesome.
A lot of the cousins, Shane, have they were talking about UCF.
I don't think UCF's there yet. UCF had a moment, but then when they joined the what are they in, the Big 12 now?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, they just egg on their face. It's like it was okay when they were in that other conference. Now they're kind of getting exposed a little bit. Of course, you know,
they're kind of like Hawk Tua, right? Where they, you know, they come on, they've come on the scene. They got 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're scam artists and you never want to hear from them again. They're just, you know, they're not even in the right class. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they were talking about, I remember watching a game and they were like, watch how the bleachers are going up and down. I'm like, dude, you're on bleachers. You know what I'm saying? And they got a fake ring for a championship. Yeah. Get that out of here. It was a fun story, but no, that's not the Florida. Like if I were looking at another Florida team, obviously Miami, the way that they're going to recruit doesn't necessarily mean it's good for fanfare, but they're obviously committed to having athletes down there. And you know, you can't keep doing that and having a terrible football team. I would imagine Miami is going to, you know, stay toward the top as well. So that may be another one. I just feel like we need another Florida team. I wouldn't be opposed. I saw somebody mention Houston. I wouldn't be opposed to another Texas. You know, SMU's near and dear to my heart. I feel like they got the money, just got to get the stadium up and everything. But yeah, that may be another option as well.
Well, to me, that stinks, Shane.
But how do you clear it? I mean, how can you fix odor, Mike?
ShopMando.com. Come on down. ShopMando.com. Promo code SEC. Get you $5 off, Shane, over at ShopMando. ShopMando. $5 off a starter pack. That's 40%, Shane. 40% off the total units price. I mean, you can't beat it, Shane. I wore it at the gym today. It was the best I smelled in months, Shane. You get a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, 2 free products of your choice, and free shipping with ShopMando. Promo code SEC, $5 off. And don't forget, Shane, this is clinically proven to block odor all day and control it for 72 hours. If only Nico's dad had him some of this, they'd be coming smelling clean out of this whole scandal. And don't forget, baking soda free.
Yes.
In case you're anti-baking soda, like a lot of these kids are these days. You know what?
Oh, yeah. No, baking soda's bad. So, and you know, somebody's like said it the other day. So they came, I can't remember the situation, but somebody says, what's that smell? And, you know, that's never good if you're in my vicinity. You know, it's like, I mean, I didn't mean to do that, you know, but it was the Mando, man. I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. I gave them the promo code. Maybe they got them some now.
Heck yeah. All right, next question. This is fantastic. Man, this is a good one, Shane. This is a good one. Shout out,
the judge.
Cousin King E34. That's a wild one. Who do y'all say is the fourth best SEC program historically? And he's counting Texas as Oklahoma as 2 and 3. I don't know that I would go that far, but you know, that it's his question. There's an argument for Florida, LSU, Georgia, and Tennessee, depending on what you most value.
Yeah.
So I assume Alabama number one. Who do you think? What would you have historically?
Well, see, let's talk historically for a second. Are we talking the last 100 years? Are we talking the last 40 years? The last 20 years? Because, I mean, I think there needs to be like some parameters here.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to talk Harvard and Yale. You know what I'm saying?
Let's
say in our lifetime, let's say my lifetime, 40 years, Mike, that's history.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 40 years, I would have Alabama number one. Who would you have number two?
Florida, probably.
You know where I'm going? LSU. I think LSU. I mean, you can't argue with national championships, man. I mean, Heisman Trophy winners. When I'm looking at...
I think Florida's got as many as LSU.
Shit, that's right. I'm an old man, Mike. I forgot.
But yeah, no, I think that's a fair...
Would you put Florida... I would put Florida and LSU kind of in that same bubble. And then probably Georgia. So Georgia be the fourth spot. Texas. Now, I mean, well, shit, Oklahoma. I mean, they had a run too.
How about this? Maybe this is the tiebreaker. Maybe not, but maybe. LSU, you did it with Nick Saban, Les Miles, Coach O.
Yeah.
And maybe Brian Kelly. Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, by their definition, that is the program. It's not Nick Saban. Yeah. He doesn't get credit for all that. But at Florida, it was Steve Spurrier. They caught lightning in the bottle. And some people had to die over it. But they caught lightning in the bottle with Urban Meyer. And maybe it's just two great coaches. Because without those guys,
yeah,
they really fell off a wagon.
What would you say about Oklahoma?
Yeah, he's got Oklahoma and Texas as 2 and 3, but
I don't know if I'd have Texas that high.
Yeah,
I mean Texas has had some really good football seasons.
I was waiting for you to say it, Shade. I didn't
No, I'm just saying Texas can be. I think we're on the path that we look maybe 10 years from now and we say Texas is there, but you got to keep getting the rings. You know what I'm saying? The only reason I mentioned LSU is just like what you said. Multiple coaches did it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're always in conversation every year. Even right now, LSU had a bad year last year. We're still talking about an opportunity that they're competing for a national championship. They're just always there. So I think historically Florida could have been higher, but because the last 10 years, I think it's just kind of watered down, you know, the progress that Spurrier and Urban Meyer made down there.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how about this? We got a donation and a question here from Ma88, Shane.
Block him. Get him out of here.
Buckeye fan, what the hell are you doing in here, Ma? If you negotiated a trade with a Big Ten to swap teams, who would it be? And he says, we're not taking pennies on the dollar, so we can't give him Vanderbilt for Ohio State or anything like that. But is there any that we would trade?
Nah.
You know what I think would be a fair trade?
What's that?
And again, I don't want to do this, but I think if we traded Kentucky and Iowa, I mean they are literally almost the same damn thing in my mind. And every time they play each other, it's like a punting competition. Yeah. You know, it's tough, it's defense, it's discipline, it's the same coach for 20 years and boring ass football.
Oh man, that's a great question, man. I mean, honestly, I'm super excited to see Texas and Ohio State play.
Yeah.
You know, I'm excited to see Michigan playing in the SEC. You know what I'm saying? Like even last year, how pumped up were you about Texas and Michigan? Well, I mean, I know I was pretty excited about it. So, but damn, I don't know.
Cousin Mike says, we don't want your teams. Cousin Bobby says, block them and send them
$5.99. kudos for coming down here across enemy lines, though, and yeah, dropping that grenade. So
he's being nice, so we could be nice back. Huh?
Yeah, but not too nice, you know. I don't know. I was pissed off at the Vanderbilt situation for so many years. I would literally have swapped them for any team. But they kind of bounced back. We got a new stadium. I think Coach Lee's really doing a great job. So I've got them on hold right now. But Kentucky keeps playing like they are. By God, get them the hell out of here.
Cousin Tim says, suck nuts. That's Cousin Tim saying that, not me. Liquid said he'd trade Tennessee for Ohio State.
Oh, shit. Damn.
How about that? Oh. Low. Great question here, Shane, from T-Town Hog.
Yeah.
What a name. Who is a surprise Heisman candidate in the SEC that is under everyone's radar? Surprise Heisman candidate. So, again, we don't have to pick, like, we're not guaranteeing this guy's going to win it or anything, but, hell, most of these guys that are winning it these days, Shane, they're under the radar in the offseason.
Let's take some off the list here, Mike. Let's take Sellers off the list, DJ Lagway off the list.
You want me to look at the current odds and see who's there, and then we can remove those guys?
Yeah, let's do that. I think what's his name down at LSU? He's going to be on hold too.
Here are the favorites: Nussmeier, Arch Manning. Mm-hmm. Just going in the list: Sellers, Lagway, mm-hmm. Nico. Don't bet on Nico, folks. John Mateer, Austin Simmons at Ole Miss, Gunnar Stockton, Georgia. Ty Simpson, and then Marcel Reed. Let's do the cutoff there.
Yeah, take those off. Who you got? I think you know who I'm going to pick.
Do it.
My man Green. I feel like he's got the upside. When I'm looking at a Heisman candidate winner, I was going to go John Mateer, but I didn't see that. I didn't think he'd be on this list, but you know, you want a guy that can do everything. And not only is he got the ability to get a 100-yard rushing game, but he also has the ability to throw for 4 touchdowns. So we've seen the ceiling on this kid. It's pretty exciting. And as long as he removes the floor and Arkansas surprises people, it's a wild – I mean, we're talking – this is not a shoe-in. You know what I'm saying? I don't want somebody to clip this.
Right.
Shane said, no, I just feel like you want a guy that's got a lot of upside, and Green definitely offers that in Arkansas.
Right. Yeah, he was going to be my pick.
Yeah.
Shout out Peanut Butter Posse. He says Calzada. Don't forget about Calzada. Frothy Tavern. I love this. Merklinger. That's who we thought you were going to go with, Shane. Of course, some people are calling him Merck Slinger there. So Tennessee's new quarterback.
I like it.
But I got two for you.
Okay.
And again, I was going to go Talen Green too. So
yeah.
I had a feeling you'd say that. So obviously I love Diego Pavia. Got to throw him into the conversation. If they can catch fire again. And I think they're an outlier, Shane, where if they go like 9-3, I think he can win the Heisman.
Mm-hmm.
I think the vast majority 9-3 ain't going to cut it. You know, they're going to say, well, you fell short. You know, maybe Talen Green's an exception there, but Diego, and then wild card, absolute wild card. I don't think this guy's going to be in any Heisman consideration, but I think he proved some doubters wrong. He's got more this year, though. How about A&M's Marcel Reed, who kind of came out of nowhere? We got a question about him later, so I don't want to spoil what I'm going to say there. But, you know, if there's one team that is bringing back a ton, year two, Mike Elko, like let's say A&M goes to the playoff or something like that. They're going to reward someone on that team.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. I think Tim hit it right here, though. This is your name to watch.
Well, see, he was on the list that we went through.
Oh, sorry. Tim, it was a good pick, but I wasn't paying attention, apparently.
How about Brodo says, which SEC team would likely win a natty if Pavia was their quarterback? Ooh. Are there any out there?
Tennessee.
I mean, I think he's better than anybody Alabama's probably got.
I think Tennessee, Mizzou.
I think he might be better Auburn. Than Georgia.
There's a lot of people that are upset they didn't take Pavia, you know, knowing that they had an opportunity. So, you know, Pavia is not a crazy gut. I mean, he's not Peyton Manning, but he's just a gamer. He finds ways to win. And I look at some of those teams last year that kind of got in scrap matches, and you're wondering what would have happened if they had a gamer. I don't know. Bobby, I think he could have winning a natty, though. That's the tough one. I don't know if he is a natty quarterback, but I think he could get you to a playoff.
What if he was at Mizzou?
Last year, I think he would have been great. You know, I don't know about this year. I think this season, obviously, they're going to take a little step back, but how could you not say it with the weapons they had last year?
Mm-hmm. How about this one, Shane, from Jordan, who goes by OU J-Dog. If OU and Texas change schedules, what would their record be? So let's go through Oklahoma's schedule.
Yeah.
And let's give it to Texas, right? Illinois State at home, easy win. Michigan at home, I think that's certainly a win for Texas.
Yeah.
At Temple,
mm-hmm.
that's a win. Auburn at home, I think that's a win. Kent State, that's a win. So I guess we're switching that Oklahoma.
we'll leave that one neutral. Since
I've already picked Oklahoma to win it, so that's a loss. At South Carolina, ooh, buddy, now we're cooking here. Now we're getting into it.
I think it's a loss.
Okay, I'm glad you said it. So that's a loss. Ole Miss at home. I think that's a win.
Yeah.
At Tennessee, no Nico. I'm going to give it to Texas.
Yeah.
Right at there. Alabama, I'm going to give that to Alabama, Shane.
Oh, that's a close one.
Mizzou at home. I think that's a win. LSU at home.
Give me Texas.
Texas. So yeah. and that was with us giving. So 9-3 is what I'm going with. You're going 9-2 and one question.
Yeah, 9-2, and not counting the Oklahoma game. So
here, what would Oklahoma do? At Ohio State, loss. San Jose State at home, win. UTEP at home, win. Sam Houston at home, win. At Florida,
win. No DJ.
I'm gonna say that's a loss. Texas, easy win. At Kentucky, win. At Mississippi State, win. Vanderbilt at home, win. At Georgia, loss. Arkansas at home, win. Texas A&M at home. I'm gonna give it to the Sooners. So, buddy, I think I just went.
Damn.
10-2.
Damn, you're right.
Or no, I'm sorry. 9-3. It's the same record.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd go 9. And then whoever wins the Texas-Oklahoma matchup, you know.
And we were kind of kind to some of those. So, you know, I don't think it's I don't know. That's a great question, though. You know what?
Yeah, that is. But, well, we felt like they got screwed coming in, and it just shows. But I feel like these teams will be rewarded in 26. I don't know if Venables will be here, but there will be an Oklahoma coach that gets to benefit off these first 2 years.
Yep. All right. How about this one, Shane? I love this question from Cousin Bo. Cousin Bo wants to know, Lagway and Marcel Reed.
Yes.
Have similar stats. Why is Lagway considered a breakout candidate and Marcel Reed is not? And just for reference, Shane, I'll throw it out there in the audience. DJ Lagway completed 60% of his passes, 1,900 passing yards, 12 touchdowns, 9 picks. So not great statistic. And rushed for 101 yards. Meanwhile, Marcel Reed, 61% passer, 1,800, almost 1,900 passing yards, 15 touchdowns, 6 picks. So touchdowns, interceptions better, and rushed for 573 yards and 7 touchdowns. So he's got a point there statistically, but I think I know the answer. Do you think you know the answer, Shane?
If you know the answer, what's the answer?
The answer is it's not how you start, Shane. It's how you
finish.
A&M. Chat the bed at the tail. And remember, this is when Marcel Reed took firm control of the job. South Carolina got smoked. Who cares? New Mexico State. You lost Auburn. Of course, I don't think that was on Marcel Reed. I think it was on the defense getting down 21-0 right out the gate. Losing to Texas, looking really, really bad on offense in that game. And then Southern Cal. I mean, that's just, again, is it all his fault? No, but that's the answer. Meanwhile, DJ Lagway, what happened there? He took over against Kentucky's when he seized the job, right?
Yeah.
We win. We had a lead against Georgia. He goes down. He didn't even play against Texas. Upsets LSU, upsets Ole Miss, beats the hell out of Florida State, and wins a bowl game. So I think this is a classic, you know, quarterback gets too much credit, too much blame.
Yes.
But I think it's all about the end of the season, how hot it was for Florida and DJ, and how cold it was for Texas A&M and Marcel Reed. I think that explains it. Don't you think?
Yeah, and not so much that. It's just there's a couple of games that stand in my mind when I'm thinking about these two quarterbacks. And you mentioned the LSU. That was a hell of a matchup, and I felt like DJ won that game. And ironically, I felt like he won the Marcel Reed won that LSU game.
Right.
But I feel like as far as playmaking, we saw more of it as, I don't know. I mean, they're both unique players in their own ways, but I feel like DJ just shown a little bit more, like his ceiling's going to be a little bit higher. But maybe that just means Reed is kind of untapped right now. And this is a kid that a lot of people are sleeping on right now. This is, I mean, we're not talking about, this is the second year with his coordinator. This is, you know, this is the first full offseason that he's had as QB one. I feel like this is a team that really could hit the ground running. And we may look at the show a year from now and say, how the hell did we not have Reed higher? How the hell did we not give him enough respect? Because honestly, I feel like he's a guy that could take a big step forward this season.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love this question, Shane, from Thomas Anderson. He goes by Tommy Bihami. Whoa.
I love these names.
If you guys were recruits in the 2026 class, Shane, top three schools you were choosing from, and one of them has got to be outside the SEC. What position, Shane, would you be? Where are we looking at here?
Left guard, probably. So I'm probably going to go. Here's the thing. Do you go visit the school you know you're going to commit to, or do you take advantage of
the I think it's got to be the three that you're truly interested in. You're not trying to go to Hawaii to see the flying Hawaiian and hit the beach or anything like that, you know?
Going down to FAU, Boca Raton. No, I think I would go, obviously, Tennessee would be one. Texas would be one for me. And maybe LSU. Maybe LSU.
No, you got to pick a non-SEC.
No, I don't do that. No, a non-SEC.
You got to pick one, he said. One out of three.
Maybe Penn State. Check that out.
You do love old school, don't you?
Yeah, I am. I don't want to have fun. I want to talk football, Mike. You know?
Right.
where does a left guard go? He goes to Penn State or something, you know? He doesn't go, I'm not going to USC here.
Okay. I think
the benefit to a North school as a left guard, as a big guy, there's less heat. You know what I'm saying? So camps will be a little cooler, you know, that you've got to play in the snow a little bit. That's kind of a lineman's dream, I guess.
I think I would go for long snapper. I think my path to the field is pretty clear if I could snap at pigskin pretty hard. Tennessee, certainly you got to throw them into the mix. I think I'd like to go play for old Shane Beamer. I think that'd be fun.
That'd be fun.
I think Arkansas, Sam Pittman, I think that'd be a hell of a good time. But if I had to go non-SEC, that's tough, Shane. That is tough. But I don't know why, but I always thought it'd be kind of cool. Oh, I'm gonna change my answer.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say Oregon.
Oh, yeah, that'd be.
I've been out there. I enjoyed my time out there. Those people were a good time. I think that's my outside the school. Outside the SEC, I mean.
You and your Volkswagen van. All that cornbread with you.
Yeah. All right, final question, Shane. We always save it for Cousin Trey.
Yes.
Does it surprise you that Eli Drinkwitz is so quickly to dismiss Luther Burden, Theo Weiss, and Brady Cook by saying this is the most talented team ever that he's had? I don't think he's... We've kind of talked about this, but I think this is after last season, Shane, people like us pumping up Mizzou, saying they're a lock for the playoff. They're going to march their way to the college football playoff. I think that was bad. And I think it's been set into that this team is, there's going to be a drop off and all this, that, and the other. So I think this is a coach that is publicly getting his ass out there every opportunity he has and saying, this team's better. This is the best team we've had. I think he's trying to build them back up. After they, you know, let's call it what it is, they fell flat in most of their big time games last year.
You have to be a salesman, you know. You're selling a dream here. You're selling tickets. You're selling fanfare, and you know, I think Coach has been on plenty of records talking about how important Luther has been for the university. The fact he stayed in state, you know, he's kind of created that pipeline. And I think that's monumentum. I think if you just kind of keep rolling, Theo did not have to go there. Luther did not have to go there. So they, you know, Drink convinced them. And whether they came there to play for Mizzou or whether they came there to play for Drink, it doesn't matter. It happened. So, yeah, I don't think he's, you know, just he's on to the next season. Because as much as we like to talk about last year, 10 years, 20 years ago, we loathe talking about the next season. Next right. year is our year. And so, yes, Drink has to sell that dream. And I think that's exactly what he's trying to do here.
Is Mark Stoops trying to get fired so he can retire? What do you think?
I think he doesn't care anymore. You know what I'm saying? He's probably golfing 4 days a week. He's just focused on his bourbon, you know, barrels and growing that business. But yeah, I feel like he does care. I mean, I joke. I feel like Coach Stoops does care, and he doesn't want. I think there are moments where he thinks about how the season or his last games, you know, are going to be. I don't think he wants to leave Kentucky with a bad taste in their mouth. I think, you know, because he did at one point put Kentucky on the map. I think he would love nothing more than to do that again. But man, he's got a uphill battle, brother.
I think he might be a little heartbroken, Shane. He tried to escape to A&M.
Yeah. Yeah, he was almost there, wasn't he?
They pulled him right back in, you know?
Could you imagine getting your dream job and then all of a sudden somebody in the email thread says, whoa, wait a minute. Who? You know? Could you imagine? That's like you getting called up by ESPN. They're like, Mike, we got it. And they're like, wait, did you see him with Cousin Shane? And they're like, oh, no, we can't have that guy. And you're mad at me the rest of your life.
And then, of course, Trey's always got food questions for you, yeah. Shane. Let's all right, this may be the toughest one you've ever had to do. Now, don't you like to answer before I get through all the questions, but there's four options here.
Oh, wow, big question.
He's talking about fries.
Okay.
Regular, curly, waffle, or steak fries?
Waffle, steak, regular, and curly.
Oh, curly, dead last.
And I can be honest with you, I'm thinking of restaurants when I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A waffle fries, can't beat it. Used to love Polynesian sauce. Now I don't because Nico's not here. I love steak fries. You can kind of get those whenever. Like if I'm making those here at the house, those are always good. Mm-hmm. Curly fries at Arby's, you know, not a fan. I'd rather have crinkle fries, if you will. And then regular fries. I mean, you can't beat Pals. You cannot beat Pals. I mean, we're talking, we're not saying like miles difference here, but you know, like a Pals fry, McDonald's fry, even those Five Guys fries. Those are really good. So, yeah, I think that's the order.
Is there an all time favorite fry? Could be any fry, any local. I'm just wondering. Where the cousins can maybe go to the location themselves and be like, you know what? Shane was right. This is the fry.
Great question. You know, surprisingly, I'm not a huge fry guy. I'm more of an onion ring guy. But I would probably say, I mean, I love Chick-fil-A. It is what it is. I'm not going to
make those are the best fries, you think?
For me, man. Those the waffle fries just soak up all the sauce. It's the sauce. For me too, you know, because I do the Polynesian with Chick-fil-A. I do a ranch with a crinkle fry, you know, barbecue with an onion ring. There's method to this mayhem. And right now that's kind of my order.
I could be honest with you, Shane. I like Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
I go pretty regularly. I never get the fries cause I think they suck.
What?
That's like the only thing on the menu I don't like.
Really?
Yeah.
No. My wife, she got healthy and she got some of them grilled chickens. Uh-huh. Not a big fan.
Okay.
Be quiet because she's out here. But
baked potato or sweet potato?
Baked potato, because most sweet potatoes have got some cinnamon situation going on. and they could say there's not in there, but they use the same damn knife to cut them things open. So usually baked potato.
Okay. I will go sweet potato for sure. How about gumbo or chili?
That's not fair because I'm in East Tennessee, so I've not really had good gumbo. I've seen a lot of videos. I watch a lot of TikTok videos and them making it. It looks fantastic, but
Jimmy Hines gumbo.
No. Yeah, when that egg floated up to the top, I was like, I'm out. No, I'm a chili guy. Give me a chili, corn chips, a little hot sauce. I don't like cheese so much on it, but I do love sour cream with it.
Okay, last one here. Ketchup or honey mustard?
Well, I like ketchup, but I would probably, if I had to pick a sauce the rest of my life, give me honey mustard. I mean, it's good on salads. It's good. I've heard, and it's good with chicken. It's good with fries. You can get away with a lot of it. But
yeah.
Onion rings goes with barbecue sauce. Just throwing that out there.
Okay. Okay. Shane's food
is that your best potato though? Like, if I'm thinking best potatoes, I like Sonic Tots. Those are always good.
Mm-hmm.
I really do like Pals has these little cheddar bites.
Oh yeah.
My God. And they're just for breakfast. And nothing against Pal's breakfast, but if it weren't for cheddar rounds, I never would eat their breakfast. You know what I'm saying? But the cheddar rounds are freaking fantastic. I would love to get the Pal's guy on the phone and let him know that we need to open that up 24/7 because those are dynamite.
I mean, they're just leaving money on the table.
What are you doing? You know, maybe they're just trying to get people there for breakfast. That makes sense. Maybe they're playing chess when I'm trying to play checkers over here. So,
all right. Any other food commentary before we
skins? Do you like potato skins or do you think they're extremely overrated?
Potato. Oh, is that where, you know, they're cut?
Like an appetizer.
Yeah. You know? I gotta be honest with you. I like the idea of it more than I actually like it. It's rare that I have one that is good. I feel like it's either all potato or no potato, and it's,
yeah,
or it's burnt to a crisp.
Yeah, I think fries have gotten too much respect, and mm-hmm. I'm not big on the tater skins. I'm not too big on loaded fries because you can get like 3 or 4 good bites, but then the rest of it's just fries. You know what I'm saying? Like once you're past the toppings, it is what it is. And maybe I've just not had good loaded fries, but those are a couple of things I just think get a little too much respect.
Here's a tip for you from Cousin JT, Texas Roadhouse, yeah. Ultimate Potato Skins. I know you go there sometimes.
I go there a lot. And the problem with Texas Roadhouse is I'm a traditionalist. I don't know if you know this, but I like certain shirts. I like certain things. Like I have the same menu items for all restaurants. And when I go to Texas Roadhouse, I love the onion petals. I think they're fantastic. The blooming, or they don't call it cactus blossom, I think is what it's called. And then obviously a steak, and you can't go wrong with it.
Cousin Ben says Shane might be the only guy that goes to Hooters for the food.
Yeah, facts.
Cousin John says, just tuned in. This is what I came for. How about the rolls at Texas Roadhouse? Elite?
Yeah, elite. Elite. And for these roll places that haven't figured out that cinnamon butter is the move, then...
That's exactly what Cousin Mike just said.
Fire them. I mean, seriously. Here's the problem with Texas Roadhouse is I get full before the steak. And I know that looks like... Like, come on, Shane. Come on. Who are you kidding here? But I'm telling you, when you have about 2 baskets of rolls with cinnamon butter, you get that salad that comes with the steak. You get the blue, or the, I keep calling it the blooming onion, but the Texas blossom. By the time you do all that, you're done. And one thing I'm not real, I don't like too much is taking home a steak and then cooking it later. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't come back. So that's the only downside with Texas Roadhouse is their front game is so good that by the time you get to the back half, it's like my golf game. You know, it's all over the place.
Brodo says, Shane isn't allergic to cinnamon. Cinnamon's allergic to Shane.
I take an EpiPen, all right? You know, just in case shit goes wild. So, because this, like, I don't know if you can tell, but my lip's starting to swell right here. So I've gotten into it somewhere. I had cinnamon butter yesterday, but sometimes it hits me. Sometimes it don't, but,
Liquid says Shane isn't heavy. He's just constant allergic reaction.
If I just lay out the cinnamon, I'm really 200 pounds, you know? What's that movie? Do you remember Martin Short? Shore? I think that's how his name is.
Yeah.
Old movie. Have you ever seen it? He's in the back of the plane and he gets stung by a bee and they keep going back to him. And every time they come back, he's bigger and bigger. That's what I think about with my cinnamon reaction. It's just kind of, you'll see it if you look it up. It's probably one of the funniest damn scenes in media history, but oh shit.
I think we've made every cousin hungry now. I think they're all going to go eat now.
I'm starving, but I just paid my taxes, so we're probably going to Little Caesars, you know.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, I think that's a perfect place to wrap this one up, unless you got anything else.
No, man. Looking forward to seeing you guys tomorrow. Thanks for coming on. Yeah, I mean, dude, you take a day off, and then all of a sudden, one of these teams implodes. So be sure to have those notifications on, because if it's wild and it demands your attention, we'll be there with the breaking news.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you missed it, I got an interview with Trey Wallace up. I'm going to have another one up tomorrow, and then I'm going to have another one up the day after, and, of course, all these shows with Cousin Shay. So the channel's absolutely noted. Oh, and we got a Saturday night, SEC Saturday night interview. Those are coming back. So, man, just think about all the content you guys got headed your way, all absolutely free on the channel. So just like, subscribe, share, all that really does help us out. But that's going to do it on this episode of the show. We appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols. Where's my EpiPen?
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.